Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for Round 14, 2023. We're coming to you from Rod Carter Studios for the first time this year. No Adam Rosenbarks this year, this week, unfortunately. He is on suspension. It's a bit tricky to talk about, but he was found at Adelaide Casino with a bag of crushed up anti-inflammatories, which he had to face the group this week, and he was suspended because, obviously at Junk Time, we don't tolerate anything but 100% clear, pure meth. Yeah. So that's on him. That's on Rosie, and he's going to go and pay his penance. But we are joined by friends of the show, Hawthorn supporter Declan Fay and Bulldog supporter Danny McGinley.
Hello.
Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Am I just on so it doesn't become a Hawk Talk pod?
Well, I mean, it's funny that because I flick through my friends in my head and I go, get them. And they're like, oh, they're going to be turning off very quickly.
I remember during the lockdown, Rosie wasn't very happy because you did me, you, Limo, Emma Race, all reliving the prelim final in 2013.
God. We did a watch along during lockdown, and I think the quote from Rosie was something along the lines of when I said, can I do it? He said, I don't give a flying fuck what you filthy Hawk supporters do.
I got grief from a Carlton fan because I was like, why are you celebrating so much? They've gone, hey, have you ever beaten Gold Coast at the MCG? And I have to say the Dogs have never done that.
Well, Danny, I'm quick to pick your brains, but how are you feeling about the Dogs this year? Because what are they, sitting about seventh or so? But they're about a game off top four. Like, give me an ABC grade at the minute.
We are, yeah, I mean, we're a game off the top four, but we're also only 2 games off 12th, 13th. So we are right bang in the middle of it all. I would give us a C. We're playing good footy. We're really good at football, apart from the putting the ball on our feet bit.
Okay.
Because we are spraying things all over the shop. We are the most inaccurate side in the league. It's very frustrating. But you know, we're playing decent footy. Injuries are very much against us. I mean, we've just lost Liam Jones. We've still lost, don't have JJ, Ed Richards, who was in career best form, and the Bont's carrying a knee injury. So we're getting the excuses ready for an absolute drop-off at the end of the season.
That's what I was going to say. You've really memorised that injury list early.
I feel like that's like a spiel, like you go and you get a coffee, and the barista says, how are you? You go, look, Liam Jones, the Bont's got a knee.
Are you getting leaks directly from the Western Bulldogs medical team? I mean, that was quite remarkable.
We get an email every week. I don't know if you guys get that from your Hawks, but it's sponsored by Pedigree Pal.
I am actually curious, like, are you getting your leaks from Tom Boyd? Could maybe take people through your Danny Boyd, see what he did there, a Bulldogs podcast.
Thank you.
But how did that come about?
It happened during the lockdowns. We just, Boydie had retired and we were kind of chatting a bit. And then I also, actually, let me tell you this as fans. Yeah, this is the, we agreed we'd watch a game together. And I genuinely felt like Seinfeld in the episode where he's friends with Keith, where he's trying to become friends with Keith Hernandez, the Mets player. And I remember getting so nervous, and I was even texting some friends I went to high school with going, hey, I'm going out for a beer with Tom Boyd. And and they were like, you're going to drive him to the airport, which is a line from the show about, you know, that's the platonic male equivalent of having sex. And I said, I think in modern day parlance, the going all the way would be if we decide to start a podcast together. And lo and behold... we did agree. And then, so we started at 2021 after the lockdown of 2020. And then there was another massive lockdown, of course. But so we've done it for about 3 years now. But it's good. It's a good, I mean, Boydie actually played footy, number one draft pick, Norm Smith Medal runner up. He actually knows what's going on. And he's never lived life as a fan. So he doesn't understand the dumb questions that I have, but he very patiently answers them all.
Yeah. How do you broach that question about starting a podcast? Like, when do you bring that up? Is that like the second date, the third date? Like,
we got, we went to, it was in between lockdowns in 2020. We went to the Cricketers Arms on Punt Road, the one opposite Tigerland. And we were the only ones in the pub. Literally, we're watching the Dogs play the Swans and we were alone. We ordered a couple of Palmers and because they clearly thought there was going to be more people, I remember getting a small mountain of chips. And and of course, for those who don't know the Cricketers Arms, about 50 metres up the road is a topless bar called The Royal. Mm. And the only other person who came in that night was a drunk guy wandered in, clearly didn't know which pub he was at, and he genuinely yelled, "Where are the tits?"
Okay.
Which is a phrase you don't often hear.
But Premier Andrews had been under a lot of stress for a long time.
At what point, like you guys are sitting in the bar together, at what point do you start dropping hints? Like, oh, the way we're talking, it's almost like we're doing a podcast together. This could be a podcast. What we're doing now could be a podcast.
Hey, do you have a Zoom login like that goes for longer than 40 minutes? Like, I mean, I can make that happen. I can make it very happen.
I think we were actually talking about the official Bulldogs podcast, which at the time was hosted by Bob Murphy and Easton Wood. And just how it didn't really give too many insights, that's how I broached it.
Well, I imagine if you do no slight on Easton and Bob, but like it's the official one, it's the club one. They're hardly going to get into the nitty gritty too much. Like it's going to be kind of top level stuff. You know how we played.
I can speak
up.
As a person who's done an official club podcast for Hawthorn in 2012, and if you say the slightest critical thing, immediately edited out. I'm sure they've got some kind of AI software that mutes your microphone the second you say something negative.
And wasn't your whole year also all of the buddy talk, Willie Lee?
Yeah.
Was that year?
2013, yeah, that's right. That was the second year that we did it. And it was...
So it's just like AI all over the shop. Like it was like you record for half an hour, it comes back and it's like 2 minutes long because you spent 28
well,
minutes saying,
I remember.
Buddy Lee.
I don't mind if people cut things and I get it. Like people just want to hear a positive thing about the club. But I do remember asking, and I know I've talked to both of you about this story. There's the famous Melbourne urban myth about... at Paul Hester's 18th birthday party he had all Nick Cave and the Boys Next Door, his first band, there, and that Lee Matthews lived up the road and happened to be at the party and that he punched out Nick Cave and knocked him out cold. And so I said to Limo, we were getting Lee Matthews on the podcast, just on the phone, and I said to Limo, we got to ask him. Like, and Limo goes, ask it. Just don't tell them you're going to ask it beforehand.
Yeah.
So we get Leon, who's the best footballer you've ever seen? What was your greatest? All those questions. And he's, And then, anyway, I eventually said, Lee, there has been a story going around for a long time that you were at the 80th birthday of Paul Hester and that you knocked out the famous Australian musician Nick Cave. And there was a pause and he said, I remember being at the Hester 18th birthday, but... I mean, in those days, I left most of my violence on the field. And lo and behold, fast forward when the podcast came out about 24 hours later, that question had been erased, the AI bots.
But wasn't there a story about Lee then, like...
I know what you're going to say. Surgeon? I'm really uncomfortable about where you might be going with this. This could be one that gets erased later on.
Okay, so we keep it under that.
No, you ask it and then let's...
Wasn't there a story about Lee kind of getting in a car and doing a car search for someone?
That's not what I thought you were going to ask.
So that means there is a worse story somewhere out there in Declan's brain.
No, but wasn't like Lee got hit or something?
No, Lee knocked out... This is the story that I'd heard.
And these are completely...
Allegedly,
fictional, made up.
the well, I have it on pretty good authority that there's
no,
a
no. I'm trying to protect you, Dick. Wait up. Bloody hell, I got Donald Trump here fucking confessing.
I've got boxes of photos and people's testimonies from that party back in the 80s. I've got the Hester family on record. No, so yeah, he grabbed a, and the reason I heard it is a friend of mine, because I obviously used to work at Triple R years ago, and we met Ron Rood, a very well-known Melbourne punk musician from 30
Rodney's
years
brother.
Ago.
Yeah, Rodney's brother, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Imagine that. You have two kids. You name one Rod and Rude and the other one Rodney Rude. And he was at the party, and apparently Mick Harvey jumped a fence and got away, so he didn't get punched out. But Nick Cave got punched out, and somebody else got punched out, and Lee Matthews grabbed Ron Rude and said, "Do you know those blokes?" Because he looked like a punk. And he said, "Do you know those blokes?" And he said, "You are coming with me."
Okay, why? Can I just ask, why is Lee Matthews being played by Bobcat Goldthwait?
Don't you think he's got a...
No, he does. It's a well-trodden turf on this podcast, Dan. Just like, it's just one game.
That's
and
the
one. In fact,
one.
We did a pod live pod with Brad Scott a couple of years ago. And he said that when he came to the club, like talking about Lethal, and I was like, "Oh, I'd just like to welcome new recruit Brad Scott." And he said, "You would not be saying that if he was in this fucking room right now."
Yeah, that's right. I worked very briefly with him on a very short lived football comedy show,
I worked on that.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, you did. Did you leave in disgrace as well, or was that just a few of us?
No, I stayed till it was... do you remember I was the one who got to tell you it was axed?
That's right, you did. You did too. I was very grateful for that. But Lee Matthews was... Well, I just remember trying to talk to him in the green room, and he turned to Dave Lawson, who was kind of, you know, who does the Toyota ads with Stephen Curry and actor and...
In Utopia.
Utopia, married to Sarah Snook, and was doing some... like kind of vox pop stuff on that show. And Lee Matthews just turns to him and goes, "And what do you do?" And this is after the show. And Dave goes, "Oh, I was just on the show with you, Lee." And Lee goes, "Yeah, but you can't do this for a job. What do you really do?"
"Do you do ads for Divine Homes at least?"
It was just...
But I remember you telling me, sir, about that show, and they gave the host like kind of info, like, you know, who got kicks or whatever. It's like champion data. Tell the champion data one.
Yep. Oh, the one about... Yeah, so they're having a meeting. You do a test show first. And so they're having a meeting going, "Is everyone happy or is everyone..." And then then Lee puts up his hand in the meeting of all the hosts and talent afterwards. And he's... I can say what it was. It was a Channel 7 very short-lived show called The Bounce. Not the Foxtel Bounce, but the...
No, it had definite article Bounce, The Bounce, whereas Foxtel is just Bounce.
Yeah. Anyway, what did he... So they're all sitting around, and the series producer, who was completely at sea on this, who kind of didn't... He said, "Look, you know, test show, anyone got any questions or any feedback?" And Lee Matthews puts up his hand and goes, "Yeah, what's our relationship with Champion Data?" And that just sent this series producer...
Are we like at a podcast level?
That sent the series producer into a wild panic, because Lee Matthews is... and he goes, "What did you mean, Lee? What kind of relationship were you talking about?" And Lee goes, "I mean, I could talk to Tony down at Champion Data, and he could give me a few stats that I could read out on the show. I mean, maybe he could make me a page of stats from each week or something like that." And the producer just completely panicked and goes, "We don't have that relationship with Champion Data, Lee." And Lee goes, "No." We should have known we were dead in the water then. It's not like Lee's asking for a personal change room or chauffeur driven. He just wanted a couple of stats. I can see how concerned Danny looks at this. He still
is very concerning. Why wouldn't Danny, as the producer, just say, "Yeah, sure, get yourself some stats"?
Just look in the paper, Lee. Like, it will tell you, like, Lee, you know, so like, 31 touches.
Lee, there's a footy record, or we could get you, like, you know, every day there's various stats after it. "Yeah, but I could call the guy Champion Data."
I've got a Lee Matthews story. I worked with him on game day, but this story, and it might have been told already on your podcast. So
now, did he ever appear in one of your sketches on the show?
He was never on the sketch, but when I'd introduce the sketch, I was usually sitting next to him, and we'd talk during the ad break. I always found him really delightful. He was quite grandfatherly. Mm. And always, like, he'd never laugh at the sketch, but then after the show would just put his hand on my knee and go, "That was pretty good. Well done."
Yeah, gotcha.
Which is nice. Do you know the story of in 2001 when the Lions got thumped by Carlton?
No.
So I heard Jonathan Brown tell this story of, it's 2001, so they go on to win the premiership and they get thumped by Carlton at Princes Park by, we're talking like 80, 90 points.
Yeah.
And all the players are looking at the ground knowing that Lee's about to come in and give him one of the all-time great sprays.
Yeah.
And they're all just sitting there waiting for him to start. And he walks in and the room just goes cold with tension. And then he closes the door behind him. And about 5 seconds later, they hear a knock on the door. And like Lee's like, "No one answer that." And then he's about to start yelling again. And then he's going, "What?" He's getting more and more angry. And then they just keep knocking. And he's like, and he goes over, he goes, "Who the fuck are you?" And they go, "We're from Asada. We've got to drug test them."
Oh, no way.
And Lee says, "Didn't you watch the fucking game? There's no way they were on drugs."
That is superb.
And he slams the door in their face.
That is so. This is very quickly evolved into the Lee Matthews tribute podcast. We're kind of talking about him like he died this week or something.
Sorry, guys. I realized I didn't do the Lee Matthews. He went, "And no one answered the door."
It's
my only memory, like seeing him in person, like being up close and personal, was that I was worked for a year before the game, and Lee came in and I was like in the green room, and he came in and kind of almost got to lay down on the couch because the Bears had just had a loss. And we had a little bit of a chat. And he had a book coming out that was like one of those kind of scrapbooks. Mm. Apparently his mum kept every article, but she never came and watched him play. I think because she kind of couldn't handle him getting hurt and stuff.
Okay.
Or watching who he hurt.
Yeah.
But she kept all the articles. So it was like quite a, you know, rather lovely book. And we had a bit of a chat then, but the other memory, and I think I told him this when I was speaking to him back in 2007, I reckon I went to grand final training for the 84 or 85 grand final. It was one of those years, and Lee told my brother and I to get off the ground. We'll walk around the boundary of Glenferrie, but it was kind. It was like, "Oh, hey guys, just jump off because you might get hit by a ball." And so that was my other interaction with Lee Matthews when I was like 7 or 8. And I told him to fuck off. I said, "You can't beat me, Lee." What are you going to do? Come at me, mate.
I just liked Danny's face in his mind. Maybe he knew Lee had a different vocal kind of timbre when Danny knew him. Because every time you or I go for the high voice, Danny looks kind of flinches. He looks really unimpressed.
Mom, I think my headphones are at a weird weird setting.
It's like a dog, kind of a whistle to a dog or something. It's going directly to your brain.
Can we talk the hot topic of the week? The Bombers going for a rebrand.
Oh, the Bomber, yeah.
Is the logo out?
Well, that's the thing. So they're talking about, I think it's mainly logo related. So they're beginning to not change the name, the Bombers, but they think maybe the Bomber itself, the plane, is not maybe appropriate these days. That maybe people feel a bit icky by its connection to war. And I mean, I actually want to stress to Bombers fans, the plane on that logo, it only dropped bombs on civilians. So no need to worry. No need to worry. But I think I actually quickly looked into the origins of like their nickname and stuff. And they were known as kind of the same old for a while. They kind of started out without really a nickname, like a lot of clubs did.
Yeah.
Then they came kind of the same olds, which was a hook to a song that people in the crowd would sing, and then eventually became the Bombers by the fact they're right near Essendon Airport, and also, I suppose it was.
So did they? Start as the Bombers? Like, because
no.
Yeah.
So a lot of teams like didn't have a nickname, so they were kind of same old. They were the. I just looked it up before they the Dons, which, you know, is pretty clear.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then eventually kind of settled on the Bombers in the 40s.
Which
was probably a patriotic thing as well back then, actually, as well, if you think about it.
Yeah, it would have been around the time of the war that had happened in the 40s.
Yeah, but and so people are
I remember Kevin Sheedy asking for the logo to be changed when he was still coaching because the plane's flying down. And he wanted, you know, the song is See the Bombers Fly Up.
Is that right? That's not you doing gear?
That's legit. I remember Sheedy saying that.
That's so Sheedy. That's remarkable.
But if anything, I think it actually very well represents Essendon over the last 20 years.
Maybe they should have a syringe flying down.
Hey.
Maybe they should be called the Needles. let's welcome out the Essendon Peptides.
Yeah, the Essendon Peptides.
God.
I don't know how I feel about it because I don't really worry too much about Essendon, but whenever I see Matthew Lloyd talk about these things on Footy Classified, he always looks like he's kind of on the precipice of tears.
Okay.
Like,
he's got resting whinge face.
He does. He's such a weird, like, he's never, ever been a good kind of media performer. And he's never quite worked out, like, Kane Corns has worked out, okay, I will be the right-wing shock jock of football.
Actually, that's actually a really good point, actually. I mean, we had Matt Lloyd on a live show a couple of years ago. I mean, we've had a lot of great people. But he was actually fucking really good. And I actually genuinely think, like, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, that's...
So
yeah.
I think you're right. Like, actually, Kane Corns has gone, I will be the Andrew Bolt of football.
Yeah.
And I can pick... I'll just be clickbait. You know what I mean?
The Nick Maxwell, who I worked with for years... not the Collingwood footballer, the comedy writer, used to say he feels like with Kane Corns, like Craig Hutchison just kind of rolls him into the studio on a kind of like Hannibal Lecter trolley at 6 a.m. in the morning and says, say something offensive so we can talk about that for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Puts the mask back on him and rolls him out again.
I mean, you can't argue about his work ethic and the like, but that, actually that's a really good parallel. Like, it's almost like... Matthew Lloyd is like Luke Skywalker and Kane Corns is Darth Vader.
When are we going to have the Footy Classified Nuremberg trials where they just, all of the things that they've accused clubs of or players or stories that just went nowhere.
That is
never going to, like, they get no comeuppance. There's no media watch. There's no...
And then also on top of that, like when the jury gives their verdict, instead of not guilty or guilty, they go, good call. Bad.
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. If I will work on this show for free, right. I will sift through all the old footage. What it misses now, it was better when it was a bit more rogue. Like, it's way too slick now with Eddie Maguire hosting it. And in the old days when they would always roll out a psycho as your kind of number four. Like, Carey was on there for a bit.
Stan Els.
Grant Thomas.
No, was Grant Stan? Thomas. Sorry.
Grant Thomas. I remember Grant Thomas saying... He genuinely didn't care. Like, he was he had decided, I am a chaos agent who does not care. And at one stage he said, look, I think they got to take... He was responding to something that had happened. A ruckman had hit their knee or something in the contest. And he said, look, we're going to have to take, you know, all ruck contests, all centre bounce contests out of the game. That'll be the end of that. And immediately, you know, Craig Hutchison, you can't be serious, Grant. I mean, are you serious about that? And
there was a lot of that in the early days. Like, it's toned down a bit, the confrontation.
I remember this argument went for about 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah. And then they said, and then Caroline said, Grant, what evidence do you have of this? And Grant goes, look, I don't really care. That was the end of it. And I have tweeted at Grant Thomas and begged him to go back on that show because you need that kind of chaos agent. But I fully support the Nuremberg trials. There isn't any, there's no oversight or governance of that.
No.
We
need
insane.
Footy classified.
Excellent.
And I'll gladly be the shock jock on that. What we'll do is we'll go through even like behind the goals footage of them with their stories. And then I'll David King it. I'll be there going, what's their brand? What do they stand for?
That is superb. I fully
support the show. Purple, really purple.
Yeah.
I did pitch once to Channel 7 a footy media watch where like coaches and players who'd had articles written about him had a right of reply. And it was the only time, I remember saying it to Luke Beveridge, and it's the only time he's genuinely looked impressed with me.
That's great. Yeah. No, it's a good, it's a good idea. It's such an odd, I think now because of foot, like Channel 9 has bought The Age, it seems like they run a lot more, oh, this was said on Footy Classified last night.
Yeah.
And totally. They kind of, it didn't, it used to be this weird rogue show that people just said crazy shit in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
It's
it was kinda, the early days were kind of like the QAnon of football.
Yeah.
Where they're like, I hear JFK Jr. is going to debut for Carlton on the weekend.
It was real rabbit hole stuff.
I think a big factor is the fact that Talking Footy and Game Day and all the Channel 7 shows that aren't broadcasting matches, they're off air. So it used to be reacting to that, but now it's the mainstream news. It's like Fox News going so far to the right, but people have all just lent that way anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, can I bring up I've actually been meaning to ask you this for a while, and I hate to say it might be a touchy topic, but the 2021 Grand Final.
Yep.
I completely apologise for this if this is untoward, but your team losing and blah, 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 but, like, did it feel a bit different by the fact that it was not a traditional Grand Final build up, you weren't at the game, it was
I can't
in
answer
Perth,
that like because my team had never lost a Grand Final before, so I've not experienced the only Grand Final week I've experienced where the game was in Melbourne was 2016, and obviously my team won, so I don't know what it was like. I do know that my emotional reaction to it was compounded by having been in the middle of a 3-month lockdown. Footy was like the plank of wood in that ocean that I was clinging to, and I didn't.
And you came from the first week. You came from like the elimination final into the grand final.
Yeah, we were fifth, so and we only got fifth by like a couple of percentage points, because Brisbane kicked a point against West Coast in the dying seconds, which knocked us out of the top four. And then a couple of weeks later, we beat Brisbane by kicking a point in the very same spot, which was And it was a great final series. It was a great grand final up until 10 minutes to go in the third quarter when we just stopped.
I was going to say, who's the guy? Sorry, his name's gone out of my brain. The little guy that wears a helmet for you guys.
Caleb Daniel. When he knocked Max Gawn.
So Martin Flanagan, in one of his books, said in every grand final he looks back and he sees a definitive moment.
Yeah.
The decisive moment where that moment speaks to the biggest story of every grand final. Cyril's goals for Hawthorn in 2008, that type of thing.
And he spent like half the book talking about the streaker in the 82 grand final. It was like weird. It was Martin, get over it.
But it, when I was watching it at home, I was convinced in that moment that Caleb Daniel tackling Max Gawn, that was the decisive moment, and the kind of they had arrested the momentum, but it kind of went almost exactly the polar opposite way.
Agreed. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. What was heartbreaking was, many things, but I remember texting a mate like 2 months later, just a guy who's not a close friend, but is a Bulldogs fan. Sorry, Chamber?
Oh, sorry. I just jumped on. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, go on.
I was just texting it, and I saw the last text I'd sent him, and it was, "Well done, Caleb. We get the next goal. We've won."
Yeah,
well, and that's what I really believe that. Like and it's just one of those strange. What do you think was the turning point, or was it just where did they just run over the top of you? It's such a
Bevo and our coaching staff had were ready for Max Gawn in the ruck, and whoever their second ruck was, we hadn't we had no contingency for Luke Jackson playing the game of his career.
Yep.
We didn't know how to handle Luke Jackson.
It's a bit like they're those moves, aren't they? It's like Jarman plays one game at full forward for Adelaide in that 97 grand final, and that's the one they hadn't planned for.
Yeah, well, the forward. He just killed it. Final quarter of 97. Just while we're doing painful Bulldogs memory, he played the quarter of his career and then the game of his career a week later. So
yeah, crazy.
Yeah. And that can be the thing. Like, you can just have a player play the game, you know, of their life, and it just happens to be on the most important fucking day.
Oh, well, know? Tom Boyd, who I co-host with, he fully admits he played two good games. I disagree with him. I say he played many good games, but that's just Boydie's shtick.
Can we quickly talk cricket?
Yes.
So Australia won. Oh, sorry, we're on a footy podcast, but Australia won the first test last night.
Yeah.
And Dan, you got to watch it a little bit, watch the highlights. Deck, were you up?
No, I stayed up for a bit, and then as it was raining, I just thought. But my exact thought was, I'm not going to hang in there if it's going to rain for the next four hours.
I'm trying to remember if I got to about 12:30 or so, and I was like, I'm either going to be up for another half hour, or I'm going to be up for another 4 hours.
That's the choice, isn't it? As soon as I flicked on my phone this morning, and I went, oh my God, they did it.
It was fucking sick.
Cummins is a remarkable leader and a remarkable, just the force of will that he has.
Yeah, but let's put this pod in a time capsule. Mm. And if it ends up being 1-4 or 4-1 in the end, we'll go, okay, maybe we need new leadership up the top.
So my second thought after going, oh my God, they won it, my second thought was, what will the English tabloids do to that team, do to the English?
Oh, dude.
And I flicked on straight away, and a friend of mine had posted his favourite ones, and I think it was the Daily Star had a real kick in the baz balls. I mean, when
that's funny, man. I got lucky enough to go to Lords in 2009 for about four of the 5 days. Yeah. And, it's something different. Like, I mean, there's something about the Ashes in England where you go, this is fucking special. But I remember when an Australian would go out, they'd get an Australian out. I'm like, oh, this is weird. Why do I feel such pain? Mm. And then I realised I'd never been in a crowd before where it was 30,000 people cheering for the other team.
Yeah.
It took me like half a day to work out, like, whenever we got a week, because whenever it's Australia, like, you know, everyone goes nuts. But it was it was quite exceptional. And going into like the Lord's kind of long room, and kind of my brother and I were there kind of whispering as the players walked past, going, calm punter, like we were spies or something.
That's great.
Like, trying to blend in.
It sets up, and though for some reason those Ashes ones in England, you know, 2005, the Ben Stokes one in 2019.
Oh, yeah, PTSD on that one, 2019.
These remarkable games where we go over there, and it sets up now for the rest of the series for it to be something kind of extraordinary. Because does he double down on the baz ball thing? I hope he does, because I find it like kind of exhilarating.
Hey, I want to say thank you so much for joining us, guys. Very kind of you,
Mike. We didn't even talk about Hawthorn.
Okay.
There was a lot of Lee Matthews gear.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Next time, Mike. Next time.
No. I'm just focused on the next threepeat.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We're gonna hit the road. We are JohnTheMuffinPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Thank you, Deck. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, go Dogs.
Go Hawks.
Football. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.